side coming up to the bend. They climb from that dip all the way to home on the side of the course. We're going to be running over a mile and a half for race number four. The feature comes up next. It's the Ponte.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I was trying to think as I was driving it. When we talked to Pat McKenna yesterday, he said they had big plans for Father's Day, a lot of reservations already. And I was trying to think as I was driving in today, there was somebody we had on pretty regularly back in the day, and I wanted to say it was Arlington. I'm pretty sure it was. So it was maybe when we had Brian Spencer on pretty regularly, would talk about the Father's Day. It was like the biggest day of the year, or one of that. And I'm pretty sure it was Arlington. It was somewhere out there in the Midwest. So I guess Father's Day and horse racing go together like bread and butter. So if you're a dad out there, you are invited to enjoy the races with us this afternoon, certainly, and make the most of the Father's Day and the horse racing combination. We will have great horse racing on a little bit later this afternoon. Don't forget, here at the Clubhouse Racebook today, if you'd like to come down and enjoy the Father's Day racing festivities here, the Pick and Putt promotion in honor of U.S. Open weekend. Get a chance to putt for some dough, and we also have a match bet promotion here this afternoon at the Clubhouse Racebook on what looks to be a gorgeous summer-like day here in the Capital Region. It was already mid-70s as I drove in. I think it's going to get hot, so maybe you get to sit by the pool and fire up your Capital OTB account on your phone or your tablet or whatnot, or just go in and out as the races come, get a dip, then go in, sit in the family room, play some races, go back out, get another dip. I'll tell you, speaking of nice weather, last night was a nice night, so after I ate dinner, I went, took a stroll in downtown Saratoga. Ho! Oh, COVID is over in Saratoga. It was jam-packed last night. I mean packed, with folks enjoying all the entertainment that is available on a Saturday night in downtown Saratoga. So we talked with Pat McKenna yesterday about the situation with fans at Saratoga, with the good news, 100% capacity. But, boy, looking around Saratoga last night, it bodes well for a big race meet, I would think, because people were out and about itching to do so and making the most of a really nice night last night in Saratoga. So, again, going to be a lot of fun. And just under 4 weeks, July 15th up there at Saratoga, opening day. Again, 100% capacity, as we talked about with Pat yesterday, Pat McKenna, and he talked about the new hospitality areas. Going to be interested to see. As I've driven by, I've kind of, they're still working on that area, the tailgate at the turn. I think that's going to be a hit where folks can pull up their car to the first turn and maybe enjoy racing from that perspective. I think that'll be a lot of fun. I have to wait till I get up there to get an idea what the verandas at the top of the stretch will be like. And I think I said it yesterday, I have never been a regular up there at the top of the stretch to know how much that was normally populated. If you've never been up there, it is literally at the top of the stretch, you know, a little green space up there with picnic tables and some concession stands and whatnot. But as they say, I'm not quite sure how much that was populated. And that's a kind of a fun, unique spot to watch a race from, too. But they've done a little upgrade there. Verandas at the top of the stretch. I'll have to, you know, when we get up there, take a look and report back on what's gone on there. And then they've expanded the stretch area, which was those last few grandstand sections, which on many days were unoccupied, but they've upgraded that over the past couple of years as well. I mean, 2019 may have been the first year for that. But that's a nice area as well. It gives you a chance to kind of come with some friends and have a little bit of an upgraded experience. Whereas if you don't want the upgrade, you can still go grab a picnic table out in the backyard or a bench on the apron or buy a grandstand seat. All the normal opportunities are still there as well. And I know as I've said for the past few weeks, just walking around town and being here at the Clubhouse Racebook, everybody is ready to go, and it looks like all systems are go, given the 100% capacity news that came out earlier this week regarding NYRA and Saratoga. And Pat mentioned it also. If you'd like to get in a little live racing action in the meantime, easy drive down the thruway to get to Belmont as well. Still nice racing there. And that's a really, really nice facility also. And they're kicking off their kind of regular fan situation when they come back this week on Thursday. So that's an opportunity, too, if you want to get a little live racing in the meantime. Of course, you can always watch it here on the network. We invite you to do so. And as always on a Sunday, Racing Across America, part of it is to look at some racing over the past few days. And we'll kind of kick things off with the two stakes yesterday at Belmont, the New York Stallion Series stakes races. The first of the two Stallion Series, the three-year-old fillies, I thought Ava's Grace, the number 10 horse, was just going to have a class edge. I mean, she's actually Kentucky bred. These are New York Stallion Series restricted races, which means have to be New York Stallions, but they're not necessarily New York breds. Well, she was a Kentucky bred that had faced open company throughout the career, had been stakes placed against open company, including in her previous start to yesterday. The Grade 3 Fantasy ran second in there, only on dirt, so she was trying turf yesterday. But a lot of times, I said it when I had the afternoon show, these horses just kind of outclass the others when they move to the grass like this. And moving in against state breds, I thought Ava's Grace, the 10, would have the edge. That did not work out to be the case. You never know. I think more often than not, the class does show. But with Ava's Grace yesterday, again, that was not the case. Our friend Roddy Vellante, of course, local owner, had Shaker Shack. And Shaker Shack looked to be pretty good. You can see Roddy's colors there on the rail. Shaker Shack is just getting past, led much of the way, gets passed here by Sport Model and fights back. Roddy's horse fights back and holds on to third, but gets passed by Sport Model and Fun While It Lasted. You can see that 10 Chicklet, the horse I liked, way in the back of the pack, so just did not take to the grass yesterday. Sport Model, on the other hand, already proven on the grass for Christophe Clement. Three starts. One of those was a dirt start that wasn't much. The second one was a turf start where the horse clipped heels and lost the jockey. And then the third start was on the grass and won. Now, it was against maiden claimers, so this was a little bit of a move up. But, again, in this field, was already a proven performer on the grass. You could make the case that really the lone grass start, because obviously the other one, the horse lost the jockey, was a pretty nice win. So you could have made the case to go in that direction. I had it down in the third spot in my selections. Went off at 6-1. Got a nice little price there, $14.80. Luis Saez on board for Christophe Clement. Sport Model in the fourth career start does get a nice little stakes win with, again, some grass experience that was kind of indicating that maybe with that experience would be a player in the stakes race yesterday. And you would have to think both of these Stallion Series races produced winners yesterday that you would think we would see up at Saratoga at some point. And we'll move on and look at the other New York Stallion Series stakes race yesterday. The race we just looked at was for the three-year-old fillies. The later New York Stallion Series stakes race, I think this was the spectacular bid division, if I'm not mistaken, was for the three-year-old boys. And again, it was 7 furlongs on the turf. I whiffed with Ava's Grace in the first stakes race yesterday, but my pick in the second race gets it done. Ocala Dream, and if you watched the handicapper's report yesterday, and Ocala Dream's the number 4 horse and gets a nice run here, and you can see up above 3-1. Brian Netto and I in the handicapper's report yesterday, because he also liked Ocala Dream, the 4 horse, 8-1 on the morning line, and we were thinking, that may be a little generous, and yeah, certainly took a little hit getting going off at 3-1. Coming up second was 13 Step Dancer, who did go off as the favorite for a Barkley Tag, and Barrage runs third. But it was the first two choices in flip-flopped order, as I say, Ocala Dream from an 8-1 morning line. Took some action. I was handicapping the race as they walked out of the paddock on OTB Live yesterday, and the horse was 9-2, maybe 4-1. And then as they got closer and closer to the gate, did take that action, as I say, went off as the second choice in a field of 11 at 3-1. Still, you know, the $8.40. Take that on a horse that looked to have some talent, certainly. And another one that was coming out of a maiden breaker on the turf. It was a horse that, and we talked about it yesterday in the handicapper report, was going to take this kind of action if the betting public bought into the last buyer. And that was going to be the question mark. The Tom Morley runner had a couple of starts last year as a two-year-old. They weren't anything special. But coming back as a three-year-old, ran third in April. And then the follow-up win to break the maiden, and did it with an 83 buyer, which was clearly by far the best for this horse and matched up nicely with this field. So you had to decide, am I buying that, or was that buyer an aberration? And we, on the handicapper's report yesterday, I said, you know, they just got to pay attention to the buyers. The bettors lean on that so much. And if they bought into it, the horse was going to take some action. That's the way it played out. Again, going off as the second choice. And the Barkley Tag Runner, got up nicely for second in there. This is a horse that had won some open company grass stakes races. So Step Dancer, all right as well. So Ocala Dream for Tom Morley and Step Dancer for Barkley Tag, as I say. I would think we'll see these horses up at Saratoga at some point as well. And as I said, they are... The Stallion Series races are restricted to New York Stallions, so they didn't necessarily have to be New York breds. Both of these are, Ocala Dream and Step Dancer. So, again, that makes it more likely than not that we'll see those show up at Saratoga. Off again, nice performance for both of the top two runners yesterday. Wanted to show one more stake from yesterday. Then we have actually some from last Sunday. Obviously, on Sunday, we don't get a chance to review them, so... I try not to let some of those performances escape if they're worth looking at. But wanted to look at one more from yesterday because we did have trainer Greg Foley on the show with us two, 3 weeks ago, and we talked a little bit about Sconson. She was coming off the nice win in the Winning Colors at that point. She had beaten Frank's Rockette, and I had mentioned to Greg, you're going to maybe pop up here and take a shot with her in Saratoga. He said, yeah, we'll probably head for the Ballerina, shoot for a grade one Wisconsin, but we're going to try the Roxalana here at Churchill first. Off of that conversation and the performance in the Winning Colors, I liked Wisconsin yesterday, the number five horse, but this was a salty field. It was an ungraded stakes race, $110,000 up for grabs in the Roxalana, but the eventual winning trainer, Neil Pessin, said in the winner's circle afterwards, this is kind of a great two, if you really looked at it. And you could squarely have made that argument because Sconson looked logical. But Bell's the one, the eventual winner. She's already a grade one winner, having won the Derby City Distaff last year. This year, she finished fourth in that race in her last start. But Neil Pessin, the trainer, thought she was better than that performance. She'd run second in the Madison at Keeneland in her seasonal debut. And you can see her here getting it done yesterday over Sconson. Sconson, though, held on nicely. And for a second, you thought, maybe going to fight back. But by then, you know, Bell's the One had a little bit of momentum and had the chart margin was 3/4 of a length. Four Graces, maybe a little bit of a disappointment. Four Graces actually went off as the second choice. Sconson favored. And Four Graces wound up fourth in there. She was a horse that had... started the career with some early promise, winning four of the first five starts, including a couple of graded stakes races. Hadn't been seen since last October, so this was her four-year-old debut. And she'll be back to fight another day. Off a long layoff, this was the comeback effort for Four Graces. I would think the Ian Wilkes horse is better than we saw yesterday in the seasonal debut. But the top two, certainly nice performers. And again, Neil Pessin afterwards in the... winner's circle said, boy, this is 21st century racing. Said, well, clearly we're aiming for the Breeders' Cup, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. Maybe we'll have one more before then. Maybe not. Maybe I'll train up. We'll see how she comes out of the race. Maybe I'll train. It's June. And he's thinking, yeah, we'll see how she comes out. Maybe I'll train up to the race, the Breeders' Cup. But, you know, maybe a ballerina for her if they want to get one more race in. I would guess, and I didn't read any comments verifying this, but I would kind of guess Sconson, they'll stick on their plan to come up to Saratoga and give her a shot, try to put a nice grade one on the resume, because that was a nice performance yesterday that you would think would set her up nicely to move on to Saratoga. So, again, I don't think I'm anticipating no change in plans. We'll probably see Sconson come up and try the ballerina, so she'll be a fun runner to watch, and maybe we'll get Greg Foley to come on over and sit in with us some morning. I'm assuming he'll be in town if he gets a shot at a grade one up at Saratoga. All right, again, did want to look at some of the performances from last weekend. Showed this one yesterday, just wanted to show it again if folks weren't tuned in yesterday, because this will play into the remainder of the year, certainly on the three-year-old side of things. We're going to watch the stretch run here to last week's Pegasus Mandaloon, who have put in the good second-place finish in the Kentucky Derby in his most recent start before last Sunday, and may at some point be elevated to first in the Kentucky Derby. We'll see how that all plays out. But Mandaloon on the comeback was the number two horse and got off to a poor start. You can see there in the Judmont colors on the outside, it just looked like Class was going to out with this one and he was going to blow by the field despite the poor start. And here you think, yep, he's going to run away with it. But Weyburn, the Jimmy Jerkins runner, the four horse, gives him all he can ask for. It looks like Weyburn's going to wind up fading here, but Weyburn all of a sudden, whoa, gets another gear. And you think, uh-oh, this is going to be tough for Mandaloon. Mandaloon holds on. Chart margin is a neck at 30 cents to the dollar. At 9-2, Weyburn is the second choice. Runs a really gutsy second there. And it may be, maybe Mandaloon isn't as good as we thought. I don't think that. It may have been they got the Haskell down the road, so they weren't, you know, wasn't geared up. It may have been the trip played into, you know, the poor start and had to work a little bit over a track that doesn't really favor the kind of come-from-behind style that Mandaloon played out. So there could have been a bunch of factors, but it also maybe Weyburn may be okay. It'll be fun to watch Weyburn being a Jimmy Jerkins horse. I would think this one will be more likely Saratoga than not. We had Bob Ehalt on yesterday, who was at Monmouth last week and said he had subsequently talked to Jimmy Jerkins, and it looks like more Saratoga than heading back to the Haskell at Monmouth, which isn't a surprise. And Weyburn certainly has the potential to be good. You know, the first four starts of the career included a couple of wins, including the Gotham. Did it with a pretty good buyer, came back then subsequently in the Wood Memorial and ran fourth in there behind the crazy long shot closing finishers, Bourbonic and Dynamic One. Hadn't been seen since that early April Wood Memorial, but that was a pretty good looking comeback off a little bit of a layoff. And it'd be fun to see, you know, Weyburn up at Saratoga and what spots they might pick for him. And, you know, if this kind of tips his hat, that he's pretty good. Be fun to watch Weyburn. But Mandaloon, this was probably the – and Brad Cox seemed to indicate that in the winner's circle. He seemed satisfied with the race. This was a good foundation to build on to move forward to the Haskell for Mandaloon. It was – had to work for it, but it may turn out to be, as they say, he was working for it versus a decent stakes runner in his own right in Weyburn. Out in Southern California, the Affirmed typically plays into the three-year-old scene, if not nationally, the going forward throughout the year on the Southern California side. It was a short field of only five. The favorite was Classier, the number one horse for Bob Baffert. Hadn't been seen since the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year. Won the career debut, then went straight into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. That's a big ask. Wound up eighth in there. Now was making the seasonal comeback, had some nice works to look at. So Classier, the number one horse, did go off as the 7-5 favorite. At 8-5, the Chosen Vron was the second choice. The Chosen Vron, four starts before last Sunday, 3 wins, and he adds another win, getting it done. The chosen Vron, Umberto Raspoli, on board, gets it done over Defunded. Number one class here, the Baffert favorite. And as you can see, a well-beaten third in the comeback, the seasonal debut. Boy, I tell you that I guess Baffert and the Baffert name and, you know, Starlight Racing owners and whatnot, I guess that just attracts attention. But if you really looked at the PPs, that you got, you know, $5.20 as the second choice for the chosen Vron, you got very good value. Let me put it that way, because on the numbers and the record, as I say, the chosen Vron came into the race last weekend with 3 wins and 4 starts. 2 of those were stakes wins. 1 was a graded stakes win, the Las Barrera, that he won by daylight over 3 lengths. Now, was stretching out yesterday or last week, but as I say, on the numbers and whatnot, he seemed to be the way you had to tilt. So if you like the chosen Vron, you're thrilled that the betting public is as enamored as they are with the Baffert name when it comes to three-year-olds, because I think you got a little more value than maybe you deserved off the PPs. But the chosen Vron, now 4 wins and 5 career starts. And again, nice little three-year-old. So we will see. As I say, the firm does play into the three-year-old scene, if not nationally, then out on the West Coast. But, you know, there are some nice spots for three-year-olds over the summer, and this is a three-year-old with some nice potential, now having been proven also at 2 turns. We'll see what they decide to do. Maybe I wouldn't be shocked if he comes east for Pascal, Jim Dandy, Travers. And again, I didn't read any follow-up to that, but it wouldn't shock me if that was the situation. Also wanted to take a little look at a couple of stakes last weekend at Pimlico, just because there are runners that, again, will play into the summertime and have already shown some talent, validated it last Sunday on a nice stakes day down at Pimlico. Pimlico, by the way, they're going to stick at Pimlico for a few more weeks than was scheduled. They when they moved over to Pimlico, they started to do a track refurbishment. And as they got into it, I guess the base was a little bit, needed some work, and whatever the situation, the work they started at Laurel, once they got into it, like a lot of home improvement projects, once they got into it, it turned out to be a lot more than they anticipated. So they're going to stick at Pimlico for a few more weeks than was originally anticipated. But last Sunday at Pimlico, again, decent little stakes day. And I wanted to show a couple of stakes. The Shine again, Chubb Wagon was in. Chubb Wagon scratched out of a New York stake, a couple of weeks ago, and said, we're going to go into the stake at Pimlico. $100,000 in the Shine again. Chubb Wagon, and again, I wanted to show this because these are horses worth watching. Chubb Wagon was 6-for-6 coming into the race last weekend, and the 4-year-old filly got it done again at Pimlico in the Shine again. She'll be the number 1. Hello Beautiful is a nice horse in her own right, the number 2 horse. This is a horse that had won 7-of-14 before the race last week, and you can see Chubb Wagon has to work a little bit. Chart Margin will wind up to be a neck. These are both nice runners, though. But Chubb Wagon remains undefeated. And, boy, this is a nice horse. Now 7-for-7. We are approaching, with a purse the other day, we're getting pretty close to $300,000 in the bank. She has traveled around. What 4 of her races have been at Parks. Did win an optional claimer at Aqueduct, and now a couple of stakes races at Pimlico. And again, she had been entered in a New York stake a couple of weeks ago and scratched out of that for this spot. So it's going to be interesting to see where they choose to go, because there's a great stake schedule in the Mid-Atlantic in Maryland all year long for the various divisions. So they can kind of pick their spots. You know, they have yet to drop into graded stakes company. So it seems like, do you sit back and think, let's keep the record unblemished, or do you eventually think, let's give her the test? And that'll be the interesting thing to watch with Chubb Wagon, because I kind of get both scenarios. But you know, they're around the horse all the time. They judge the talent. So we'll see where they go over the summer. And I mentioned that because I can see a horse like this up at Saratoga. But I could also see them saying, the waters are a little too deep. If we try some of that graded company, let's continue to pick our spots with her and see how long we can keep the undefeated record and add some decent money to the bank account. But Chubwagon stays undefeated last weekend at Pimlico. And one of the Mid-Atlantic runners that over the past couple of starts had seemed to go in the wrong direction got back on the beam last Sunday at Pimlico. 5 furlongs on the turf in the Stormy Blues, $100,000 for 3-year-old fillies. And as we see here, it will be number 10, Street Loot, with the X-Man, Xavier Perez, getting it done at just about even money by a half a length. She is the number 10 horse, Street Loot. And again, I wanted to show this one because this is another talented filly. 3-year-old filly, had won 7 of 10 before this race last weekend, so she's now 8 of 11. But in the last couple of starts before this, look at it. The X-Man, a little happy under the wire there, pumping his fist. And I can understand why, because she gets going again. After having a nice little win streak snapped, she had really had a nice streak to start the career. She'd won 7 of her first 8, and then two starts before last weekend, ran 3rd. And then in the Miss Preakness at Pimlico, had run 6. That was her first really poor performance. So to come back last weekend and get back in the winner's circle just validated again the talent that she had shown at various points throughout the career. Various points meaning pretty much every time she raced up until the 2 starts before last weekend. But gets back to the winner's circle. And again, 3-year-old filly, we'll see. 3-year-old filly who she had never tried the turf before. And this one was scheduled for the turf. As you can see, it was on the main track. And I'm just looking to see what they actually had the track. It was still listed as fast. But it was on the main track. She was not a main track only entrant. So they were going to try the turf. And it'll be interesting to see. If they think she can turf, it'll be interesting to see, if they have options and try options. But being a 3-year-old filly sprinter, the test maybe sits out there. Again, that's a big ask. I'm just looking. Has she ever tried? The only graded stakes try was that Miss Preakness, which was her worst performance. So it'll be another one where they'll kind of pick their spots and decide where to go and if they want to try graded company again. But both of those, I would think Saratoga is potentially out there for them, but it wouldn't shock me if other spots are chosen as well. All right, we are going to head to a break. I'm going to do a little handicapping. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by our friend Ernie Perry, the clacker, up at Woodbine. I asked him to hop on board this morning because there's 2 nice stakes coming up at Woodbine this afternoon. The return of the former Canadian Horse of the Year, Pink Lloyd, makes his 9-year-old seasonal debut in the Jacques Cartier, and he's won that stake the last 4 years running. So Pink Lloyd's going to be fun to watch this afternoon at Woodbine. And Jackson Traveler and Outador show up in the stakes race as well. Jackson Traveler, the nice runner for West Point Thoroughbred. So a couple of nice stakes today up at Woodbine, and we'll get the thoughts from Ernie Perry, the clacker up at Woodbine, a little bit later on. But first, we're going to take a break, come back, do a little handicapping for this Sunday afternoon. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrill in the studio again. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Before we get into actual handicapping, let me remind you, today the last day of the Santa Anita meet. That means mandatory payout in their pick six. They have $277,000 in the pool with a mandatory. That will balloon up significantly. So certainly if you're a pick six kind of player, take a look out Southern California way this afternoon, $277,000 in the mandatory at Santa Anita as they wrap up their meet. All right, let's pop into Belmont and late pick four action today. Again, I looked a little bit earlier. There weren't scratches up yet, so we're kind of going without scratches. And I'm not putting an actual pick four ticket together, but we'll toss out some ideas on the late pick four today at Belmont. And again, I mentioned it yesterday afternoon, but I'll mention it once again. Hats off to the Capital OTB bet player who hit the late pick five on Friday with his Capital OTB bet account. That meant he picked up also the bounty bet, which was worth a little over $1,400. But the $1,400 was just icing on the $37,000 cake. It was a $35,000, $37,000. Hey, what's a couple thousand here or there? But it was a funny sequence. The first four were not necessarily easy, but they were kind of haveable. And then the last race, it was a $60 horse. So nice, clever job by one of our Capital OTB patrons to hit that late pick five at Belmont on Friday with his Capital, played through his Capital OTB bet account, which made him live for the bounty bet. So he picked up a juicy pick five of well over $30,000 and then got an extra $1,400 with the bounty bet. So again, tip of the cap to that player. Today, looking at the late pick four, seventh race at Belmont today. It's an allowance non-winners of one other than six furlongs on the grass. I'm going to go 3, 10, 8, and 4. Honey Pants on top. Goes off for Christophe Clement. Hasn't been seen since April down at Gulfstream, where ran a pretty good second in an optional claimer non-winners of one. That was coming off a string of stakes races. Went off at even money that day. Now a little bit of a layup, some decent workouts since then. Irod Ortiz hops on board. He's back in the saddle, having come back on Thursday. So just kind of adds up. Honey Pants seems logical. Kyoto in the second slot. Hasn't been seen since last year, and that's the knock. Will this horse come back ready to run? Certainly there is the talent. Certainly this horse fires the numbers. It's Rudy who can have him ready off a layoff. I didn't think the workouts were really singing anything significant one way or the other as far as readiness. I just couldn't leave the horse out because I think there's enough talent there if Kyoto is ready that you have to have it in the mix. And Violent Point goes out for Chris Engelhart. The last race may darken the form a little bit. It was an off-the-turf event that was a sixth-place finish. The two turf races right before that, though, I think fit squarely in with this bunch. And we're looking at 8-1 on the morning line. Again, off the poor performance last time in the off-the-turf event. I think getting back to the grass will be beneficial, likely to show flash some speed, and I think can be a player again on the turf this afternoon. So the 7th at Belmont, 3, 10, 8, and 4. 8th race at Belmont, State Bred Maiden Specials going 3/4 of a mile at Belmont in the 8th, 9, 2, 6, and 1. I'll put Sinful Dancer on top. I talked about the horse in the last race that would appreciate getting back to the turf. This one will appreciate getting back to the dirt. First two starts of the career, very good. Still a maiden, but in the second career start, they tried a New York Stallion Series stake off a second in the debut and ran a close-up second in the stakes race. So still a maiden. They were ambitious, and they got rewarded for it with a nice second in a stakes race. Subsequently, last time, they bounced over to the turf, and the horse kind of went in the wrong direction. I think getting back to the dirt today, we get back to a better performance, and Sinful Dancer has the opportunity to break the maiden. Second start, second spot, American Revolution. The Todd Pletcher trainee, now Todd Pletcher trainee, comes off a career debut for Rudy Brissett last October. That was pretty good. It was the kind of performance that should have gotten a good education into the horse. Now comes back off a little bit of a layoff, maybe has some added maturity by constitution, should win sooner rather than later. Luis Saez on board. American Revolution, logical, and Mr. Buckley in the third spot for Ray Handel, who seems to be going well over the past few days, and sometimes a barn gets hot, you have to kind of get on the train, and I think this one is going to be live off of the turf race two back, draw a line through, and if you draw a line through that, the horse just is moving in the right direction number-wise over the last few races. The eighth at Belmont, 9-2-6-1. The poker is the feature this afternoon, and it's a fun race. You may be able to lean on Raging Bull in here. Again, we talked about this one yesterday with Bob Ehalt, and he said he had talked to Chad Brown, and they were going to this horse coming off, I think every race on the page is a grade one. The poker today, a grade three. They were supposed to head out, I believe, to Southern California for another grade one. And with the current situation with the Tech Sutton air travel, which has kind of shut down a little bit here, they couldn't make the trip, and so they wanted to get a race in anticipation of grade one activity up at Saratoga in the four-star Dave. So they elected for this spot. So Raging Bull coming out of the win in the Maker's Mark Mile probably has a little edge on this bunch, but there are some other Chad Brown runners in here and some other runners overall that make this. It's a salty race. So it's not necessarily a gimme for Raging Bull. But again, if Raging Bull runs back to what we saw at Keeneland last time, probably goes through him. But Get Smokin' has run well so far this year with a couple of nice stakes wins, including last time right here at Belmont. Front Run the Fed I have down in the second spot. Comes out of a nice second place finish in the seasonal debut for Chad Brown. And off of that, if the horse is a little tighter and moves forward, could be a real challenge to the barn mate. Tell Your Daddy could be a little bit interesting for Tom Morley, another guy who's going well currently. But Raging Bull is going to be the one that's going to be fun to watch this afternoon in the poker. I have it 1-6-4-8. And we will wrap things up at Belmont this afternoon. Race number 10 going off about 5:45. State Bred Maiden Claimers going 6 furlongs on the turf. I have a 2-7-11-14. The 14 is too deep on the AE list. And as I say, I haven't seen the scratches yet. But if the 14 doesn't get in, pull the 4 into the mix. But I'll go with By Hubby Hello Money, which is a clever name from the also cleverly named FNX. So a little play off that. By Hubby Hello Money. Comes off a career debut last September that, again, was pretty good, should provide a foundation, gave the horse some experience, and these are the kind I talk about quite a bit. A little bit of a layoff from the two-year-old to three-year-old season, could come back with added maturity and talent, moves state-bred maiden special to state-bred claiming for Brad Cox. So I'll go through that one. By Hubby Hello Money, the two, excuse me, on top. Out to number 7, Highway Queen for Steve Claseris. Maiden special weight to maiden claiming on the state bred side of things, but still potent. The seasonal or the career debut was pretty good. The seasonal debut, the horse went in the wrong direction, but now moves over to turf, moves back to a sprint, has a little bullet workout down at Delaware in the holster. Highway Honey seems likely to be a contender today. Willow Grove in the third spot. Turf start two back was okay. The dirt starts seem a little bit better, but this is the third start off a little bit of a layoff. Overall, I think all the starts have been pretty good, or at least starts to build on moving forward. I think Willow Grove can be a player as well. So again, the 10th and final at Belmont. 2-7, 11, and 14. If that 14 doesn't get in, take a look at the 4. That gives you some ideas for today's late pick 4 at Belmont. Again, we'll be in later this afternoon with OTB Live, taking a look at that card at Belmont in live fashion. We'll also look at some Churchill and more this afternoon, so you can tune back in and, you know, a couple hours for that. But in the meantime, we'll take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll be joined by the clocker up at Woodbine, Ernie Perry, taking a look at some of the action at Woodbine on this Sunday afternoon, including the return of former Canadian Horse of the Year Pink Lloyd in a stakes race he has won the last 4 years running. Can he make it 5 in a row in the Jacques Cartier? We'll see this afternoon. We'll talk all about it with Ernie right after this. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning, as promised before the break. Hey, it's our friend Ernie Perry, the clocker up at Woodbine. Ernie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Seth. How are you guys doing down there today?
Very good. We're happy to have you on board. Talk a little Woodbine. Always looking forward to Woodbine. We talked to Ron Gierkink last week, and we said, man, we miss getting up there. You know, last year we didn't make our usual trips, Woodbine Mile weekend and Queen's Plate, and given the situation this year, it looks like at least at this time of the year, a little unlikely as well. Who knows? Maybe September, maybe we will be able to get up there, because looking forward to our return. But give us a little update. What was the opening few days at Woodbine like last week?
Well, you know, with the delay, it's probably not the best for the horsemen in the sense of we're carrying these horses a couple of extra months, right? But on our end, field times were fantastic.
Yeah.
The betting was good. Horses were ready. We didn't have the shippers having that edge over our own. So it was very competitive racing.
It really was a great weekend as far as cards and whatnot. And I was happy to see the nice return. And today I wanted to bring in, I've talked about it a couple times already on the show, because two fun stakes races. We'll take a look at another race on the card as well and get some of your thoughts. But I wanted to concentrate on a couple of stakes races to begin things, mainly because Pink Lloyd comes back, the former Canadian Horse of the Year, shows up in the Jacques Cartier, a race he's won the last 4 years running, and now comes back as a 9-year-old. We're going to pull up last year's running of this stakes race. Last June 25th, Pink Lloyd is going to be the number 5 horse here, gets it done as an 8-year-old to win for the 4th straight time in the Cartier. He comes back this afternoon. Field of 6, and I think Super Stonehenge from Mark Cassie is going to be an interesting competitor in here as well. But what are your thoughts in the Cartier as far as Pink Lloyd? And I'm wondering, from being up there in years past, I know we've talked to Robert Tiller, And does Pink Lloyd still kind of have his own training time? Because it seemed like in the past they've liked to bring him out after the other horses were on the track for their morning hours. Pink Lloyd got his own special time on the track. That's still the case?
Yeah, well, he comes. He does come before the track closes at 10:30, but he'll come at 10:29. So the track is pretty clear to himself. The other day, he did have a worker go by him that late, and he kind of perked up and was, keen to the situation. So, yeah, I think the horse is still in fine form. I know a lot of people are talking about Super Stonehenge beating him today. I tried that last year with this horse, and this horse responded, and I'll stick on the bandwagon, to be honest with you. I thought he's been training well. His last move in 47-2, looked so easy, like he was just floating. So I'm going to stay on the bandwagon. There's no price, so it's not a real race that I bet, but if you want to pick him. But then on the other hand, like I said, a lot of people are talking Super Stonehenge. Maybe he's got the fitness edge. And I, at this time of year, I'm going to say that Pink Lloyd's okay. Now, interestingly, Pink Lloyd loses his rider, Hernandez, to injury, and Fukumoto's on. Now, Fukumoto's done well for the barn, and he won the Queen's Plate last year. So he's got a lot of pressure on him, Fukumoto, so hopefully that doesn't interfere with that. But it's a horse race, and I'll stay on the bandwagon.
Yeah, Hernandez, what, came up with a little fracture in, what, his foot or something? Yeah, from what I read, he's going to be off like a month or so.
Yeah, absolutely. He came back the next day, or he came back to ride the next day, and just wasn't feeling right, and then he found out that it was a slight fracture. So, yeah, he's going to be off. It opens up the colony for sure.
Yeah, and again, he's one of the leading riders up there typically. So folks who are watching, he'll be back, kind of sooner rather than later there. All right, let's go on to a little bit later on the card in the Woodstock. Looking forward to this one as well, because our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds have Jackson Traveler, and they've been successful in the past when they've shipped horses up to Woodbine. And Jackson Traveler, going to take a look back at Oaklawn on April 24th. Jackson Traveler is going to be the number four horse, getting it done over Casadero, who looked pretty good yesterday racing. And so Casadero flattered that one maybe a little bit, although this was a couple of months ago. But Jackson Traveler, number four, gets it done down at Oaklawn, subsequently ran second in the Chick Lang at Pimlico behind Mighty Mischief. But Jackson Traveler looks good this afternoon, but can't get past Wesley Ward and Out of Door either. I think that one adds to the intrigue. It's a fun race, 6 furlongs in the Woodstock. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so this one looks like it's all about the shippers, Seth. We have a couple of our locals, Thirsty and Master Spy. They're prepping for longer races, I believe. Master Spy has Queen's Plate aspiration. Saturday George, unfortunately this horse is working so good that he gets stuck in this tough spot. So it's going to be down to the shippers. Michael Trombetta, his percentage when he comes to Woodbine's outstanding. He won one yesterday at the price. Wesley Ward is another one that's outstanding. And then you have the Estimation horse. So it'll be a tough handicap between those four, but it looks like it's all about the shippers here today.
What is the situation with shippers? I mean, obviously, because they're in here, the horses can go across the border. How does that all work?
Yeah, so I know for sure that like the Wesley Ward and the Michael Trombetta, they have sub-trainers here.
Yeah.
It's some of our trainers that are doing the saddling and whatnot. I'm sure for us, Musa is as well. So that's what it's all about. Yeah, they're under our trainers here. And, that border situation, I don't know if it's going to get sorted out, but they do like to come up as well. But like you said, it looks like the horses can, and the people have to quarantine when they come in. So it's a tough spot for them to come over.
Yeah, hopefully that changes again sooner rather than later. But we're just happy you guys are back racing. And as I mentioned earlier, you're the clocker up there. And the 11th race is one that maybe you can give us some insights, because there are some first-time starters here. The 11th today at Woodbine, maiden specials going 6 furlongs. What did you see in race number 11?
When you clock horses and you don't know where they're going to run and you have an idea, and unfortunately, like two horses in this race that are stuck in the same race, number. We'll start with number 4, Lakeshore Drive. This one worked June 6th on the gate, 59th Street. Actually came out of the good bit and veered left, so lost about 5 lengths in that work. But caught up and opened up at the end of the 5-8. So, oh, it's visually impressive. Hopefully comes out of the gate straight. Now you have another horse for Roger Atfield, Toronto Toro. It's also been working right now. His work out of the gate, he beat a horse pretty handily called Pound Green. That one came back to win front. Ontario started 40. I'm going to give Toronto Toro a slight edge in this one. But if you're looking for an exacta, I would use those two, Lakeshore Drive and Toronto Toro in the exacta with the Roger horse on top.
I like it. A couple of little prices in there. Maybe to get you going at the end of the day up at Woodbine. So we'll keep those in mind. Ernie, as always, we appreciate the visit and the conversation. As they say, we look forward to the potential of getting back up there at some point. But we're just happy to see you guys back up and running and wishing you a lot of good luck throughout the season. We will certainly check back in at some point.
Yeah, thanks, Seth. And if the border opens, I'll be in Saratoga. Try my hardest in August. So maybe I'll see you down there. But all depending on what happens with the border. But thanks for having me.
Yeah, and as always, if you do make it down here, shoot me a text and we'll have you come sit in with us on the morning show on the backstretch.
That would be fantastic. Thanks, yeah. Seth.
All right, we wish you the best. Ernie Perry, Clocker up at Woodbine. Again, really nice card today. And, you know, we mentioned it before last weekend, nice full fields, great betting fields. I mention it all the time. With the 20-cent increment on the pick plays, they're a lot of fun, and you can get some good firepower, and people think, yeah, 20 cent, do we get the same value? If you come up with a clever horse or two, it can be okay. I said yesterday, had a text from a friend who last week took a little shot and said, hey, thanks for reminding me about the 20 cents up at Woodbine. Put together, I think it was a $4.20 ticket and came up with a pick 4 that paid $150, something in that neighborhood. And you can, again, have a little fun up there with a modest amount of money with the 20 cent picks up at Woodbine. So it's fun to see them back. Nice fields, nice competitive fields. But the two stakes races today are good. As Ernie kind of said, Pink Lloyd, do you jump in and make a big bet there? You know, maybe a free square on some of the picks or something, unless you think, you know, you're going against a Pink Lloyd. But it's just one of those races that at the very least you want to watch. 9 years old, former Canadian champion, going to be fun to watch him. And with our friends at West Point, Jackson Traveler and the Woodstock, looking forward to that race as well. So, again, nice card up at Woodbine this afternoon. Reminder, once again, at Santa Anita today. It's closing day for their meet. $277,000 in the Pick 6 pool, which will have a mandatory payout, obviously, on the last day of the meet. So check that out if you are a Pick 6 player. $277,000 up for grabs in the mandatory at Santa Anita Pick 6 this afternoon. Here at the Clubhouse Racebook, we are offering up Pick and Putt again today in honor of the U.S. Open. Come on in and putt for some dough. Also, match bet promotion here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Love to have you come down and enjoy that as well. If you're a father, come on down and enjoy the day here at the Clubhouse Racebook. I said at the top of the show, over the years, talked to a number of people at racetracks where Father's Day is like a bang-up day at racetracks. It goes together like bread and butter, Father's Day and horse racing. So if you're a dad, enjoy some racing with us on this Sunday Father's Day afternoon. I'm going to wrap things up for this edition of Racing Across America. As usual on a Sunday afternoon, I will return in an hour and a half or so with OTB Live. We'll be taking a look at a little Belmont today. Little Churchill Downs. Belmont has that really nice poker featuring Raging Bull. Again, I've been saying it for probably 3 or 4 weeks now. A lot of the action that is going on right now at the various venues will play into Saratoga, and the poker definitely will, because Raging Bull is looking to point next to the 4-star Dave. But whoever comes out of the poker will likely have some kind of assignment up at Saratoga. And again, yesterday's Stallion Series, those horses likely to be up there at Saratoga in some fashion. And as I say, the Maryland winners I showed last week, wouldn't be shocked. They're Sconson from Churchill. So You can see where our mindset is here in this area, thinking all Saratoga all the time, as it is less than 4 weeks away. And as I said, walking around Saratoga last night with just a jumping crowd, I'm looking forward to opening day and seeing if they break down the fence with the level of anticipation that I think people have had not being able to get in the last year. Looking forward to it, because last year, obviously, I was lucky enough as a media person to be there every day. Owners could be there, but that was about, you were there every day in just a really, a situation that would have been hard to imagine unless it had happened. You know, a big day at Saratoga, down on the apron, there's a couple dozen people, and you know, you can hear the horses running by. We had the auxiliary press box up in the dining room, and you could hear the horses running by, and you know, there would be a little smattering of cheering from a couple dozen people, perhaps, but it was very different, and I'm looking forward to getting back to it being more normal, and just the buzz, the excitement, and just enjoying the Saratoga experience. I said last year it was kind of unfortunate that fans weren't able to be on track to see some really nice performances. And two, I always mentioned Tisdalaw and Swiss Skydiver were both phenomenal, and it was unfortunate that the folks couldn't be there. Given what we've seen so far this year, I think there's going to be some more nice performances to watch. So that's going to be great, because Saratoga fans are so informed, so educated, and have such an appreciation for the game. It's fun to see big performances get that level of appreciation. But a day at Saratoga is more than that. You go out in the backyard, and the bandstand, there's a band playing, and just walking around the picnic table, picnic area, and saying hello to folks and seeing people you only see maybe in the summertime, and you know, really enjoying the full breadth of the Saratoga experience. It's going to be a lot of fun this year, and certainly we will continue to talk about it for the next 3.5 weeks until we get up there, because, as I say, everybody is raring to go. I'm raring to go, too. Raring to go out and check in, get my papers ready for this afternoon, and plan for OTB Live. As I say, we'll be back in about an hour and a half or so with the Sunday edition of OTB Live. Look forward to seeing you then. Appreciate your tuning in to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Once again, I'm Seth Merrill. So thanks for tuning in. Be back in about an hour and a half with OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.